So, we have learnt how the SOP property is calculated, one house property, more than one house property, how the income is calculated. Now, in the same series, I want to ask you a question. This is my house at my native place. And because of occupation, because of what you call it employment, because of business, because of profession, I migrate from my native place to a different locality, different state. Now this house is remaining vacant. Why it is vacant? Because I am not there. And I have not given it on rent. If the house is remaining vacant throughout the previous year, because you have migrated, you have left that house because of your job, because of your business, because of your profession, and you are staying elsewhere, in that case, shall this house which is vacant be treated as self-occupied or not? Is it occupied? No, right now it is not occupied. It is vacant. Still, under section 23, subsection 2, if the house is vacant due to your occupation, due to your job, due to your business, that one house shall be treated as if it is self-occupied, and the NAV of this house shall also be zero. Is that clear? Now, having explained to you about the house properties problems and interest, now what will happen in this situation? Let us discuss it out. Very interesting. Suppose I have taken the loan on 1/4/2005 for construction of the house. I have taken, say, 20 lakhs rupees. I have borrowed capital loan at the rate of 10% interest. Now the house was under construction and the house finally was completed on 1/4/2009. On this day, the house is fully completed. Now, the loan is taken prior to the construction. The interest will start accumulating. Now, in this case, where the loan is taken prior to the construction of the house, and house is completed at another year, then the interest from the date of taking the loan till the previous year, till the end of the previous year, prior to the completion of the construction previous year, shall be treated as, what you call it, shall be treated as a pre-construction interest. Again, I'll tell you. The loan is taken on 1/4/2005. The construction is completed on 1/4/2009. Now, 1/4/2009 to 31/3/2010 is a different previous year. Now, what about this? Shall this person get the entire deduction of the entire loan from this period to this period in this year? No. The interest will be calculated as under. How? Let us start. So, it will be treated as interest pertaining to pre-construction period as per explanation attached to section 23. Now, how you will calculate it? The interest from the date of taking the loan, that is 1/4/2005, till the prior year, till the previous year, prior to the previous year of construction. Now the construction completed on 1/4/2009. Now what is the previous year immediately preceding to this completion construction? The previous year immediately preceding to this construction is 31/3/2009, because construction was completed on 1/4/2009. So immediately preceding to the completion of the construction, which is the previous year? The previous year is 31/3/2009. Can we say during this period the house was remaining unconstructed fully? Now is it not the interest? Shall it not be treated as the interest for the pre-construction period? The construction period afterwards will be 2/9/10. But prior to this will be 1/4/05 to 31/3/09. Again I'll tell you. If the loan is taken prior to the construction period, then the interest shall be calculated in two installments. One, from the date of taking the loan till the end of the previous year, immediately prior to the previous year in which the house was constructed. Here, the date of taking the loan is 1/4/05. The construction was completed on 1/4/2009. It took almost 4 years. Now, what is the immediately previous year ending before this date? This is 31/3/2009, because next year starts from 1/4/2009. So, this will be 31/3/2009. So, 20 lakhs rupees interest for 1/4/05 to 31/3/06 is 2 lakhs, 10%, 10% of this. Now again 1/4/06 to 31/3/07, again 2 lakhs. From 1/4/07 to 31/3/2008, again 2 lakhs. From 1/4/08 to 31/3/2009, again 2 lakhs. 4 years. It took 5 years for construction. Now, this period, 5, 6, 6, 7, 7, 8 and 8, 9. The total interest is 8 lakhs. Is it not before the construction period? Yes. Now, if I allow, if suppose this house is given on rent, say from this period to this period, the rent income, the GAV, is say rupees 9 lakhs. Because the after construction, the house is supposed let out. The GAV is 9 lakhs. Less municipal taxes. Suppose municipal taxes paid by the owner are rupees 1 lakh. Now the NAV is 8 lakhs. Shall you calculate 30% of NAV? Yes. Which will be 2,40,000. Now what about this interest? This interest, shall it be allowed fully? Less interest. You will observe, you will appreciate that interest from 1/4/09 to 31/3/09, 1/4/05 to 31/3/09 is interest pertaining to pre-construction period, because the construction completed on 1/4/09. Now for this 8 lakhs rupees will not be allowed fully. Now this 8 lakhs rupees will be interest shall be allowed as a deduction like this: pre-construction period. Now what is pre-construction period? Interest 8 lakhs. This 8 lakhs will be divided by 5. This is written in the law. So every year you will get the interest as a deduction of rupees, what do you call it, 8 lakhs. 1,60,000. Every pre-construction period divide 8 lakhs, total amount will be divided by 5 by rule. So pre-construction period for this year Is 1,60,000? Why 1,60,000? 8 lakhs divided by 5. Now, the assessee has not paid the interest for this year also. So, this is current year's interest which is pending. We assume that the loan is not repaid. Now, the current year interest is 2 lakhs. 20 lakhs, 10% is 2 lakhs for current year, this year. And pre-construction period from 1405 to 31309, 2 lakhs, 2 lakhs, 2 lakhs, 2 lakhs, 8 lakhs divided by 5. It is 1,60,000 pre-construction and current year 2 lakhs. We assume that the loan is not repaid. It is continuous. Now, the total deduction by way of interest will be 3,60,000. So, what is the total amount of deduction? That is 6 lakhs rupees. Now, the income from house property is 2 lakhs rupees. Have you understood? So, this is how you have to understand the concept of pre-construction period. In pre-construction period, dear friends, it is very easy. You have to understand. You have to divide the problem into two parts. First, when the loan was taken and when the construction was completed, in which previous year. Now, from the date of taking the loan till the end of the previous year, till the end of the previous year, till the end of the previous year, prior to the previous year in which the construction was completed, will be accumulated. This is this. This amount shall be divided by 5. During this current year, you will get 1,60,000. But shall you not pay interest for this previous year? Because you have not paid, repaid the entire amount of loan, it is pending. So 2 lakhs rupees, 10% for this year. This amount, this minus this, 8 lakhs minus 6 lakhs, that is 2 lakhs rupees will be your income from house property. This is called as pre-construction period. Is that clear? This is how we have to understand. So, we have seen that how the interest is calculated. Dear friends, only keep one thing in mind, that in case of let out property or in case of deemed let out property, there is no restriction on interest. But if one house is SOP, then the maximum interest cannot be more than 1,50,000, provided the loan is taken after 1/4/1999 and the construction is completed within the end of the 3 years from the date of borrowed capital. We have also seen the pre-construction period. Pre-construction period is nothing but if you have taken the loan prior to the construction of your house, then from the date of taking the loan till the previous year prior to the construction period, will the interest will be calculated and that interest will be treated as pre-construction period interest, and that will be divided by 5. Every year you will get those. Next year also you will get 1,60,000. Next year also you will get that same amount. No, divided by 5. In earlier example it was 8 lakhs. So 8 lakhs divided by 5. 1,60,000. For 5 years you will get the interest as a deduction, against income from house property. Having said all these things, now I want to draw your attention to the concept of unrealized rent. What is unrealized rent? Let us understand that my municipal value, now I am talking about unrealized rent. Unrealized, you know, in business or profession, there is a concept called as bad debts. In the same way, the rent which could not be realized, which could not be recovered, is called as unrealized. Now suppose this is a house, the municipal value of the house is rupees 2 lakhs. The fair rent is rupees 2,40,000. The standard rent is rupees 2 lakh 10,000. And the actual rent is, say, the house was let out for ₹50,000 per month. So the actual rent will received or receivable is 6 lakhs. 50,000 into 12. Now, we want to find out. Now the municipal taxes is rupees 1 lakh per annum. And interest is rupees 1,40,000. Now the problem says that the person who let out the house at the 50,000 rupees per month could not recover the rent for 2 months. Rent was not realized for 2 months. Means the tenant did not pay the rent. Now what you will do? How you will solve the problem? Again the same way. Because the house is let out. Because there is actual rent. High, low, high. So municipal and fair rent, 2,40,000 will be outside. We are determining the GAV. The 2,40,000, now next standard rent. This cannot be more than standard rent. So standard rent will prevail. Now this again will be compared with GAV. Sorry, actual rent. The high, 6 lakhs. So your GAV shall be 6 lakhs of rupees. This is your GAV. Once you understood GAV, now let us calculate the income from house property. Now my GAV is 6 lakhs. But I could not realize the rent for 2 months. That means less unrealized rent. Why should I pay the tax on the rent which I could not recover? It's a bad debt. So my GAV after this will be 5 lakhs. From this, I will deduct municipal taxes, which is how much? 1 lakh. Now 4 lakhs. Now again, I will deduct the deductions, less deductions under section 24, 30%, this is NAV now, of NAV, which is 1,20,000. Have I paid any interest? Yes. Is it let out or is it SOP? It is LOP. In LOP there is no limit. So 1,40,000 is there. Entire amount of loan interest shall be allowed as a deduction. Now it is 2,60,000. Now what is remaining? 1,40,000 is income from house property. What I am trying to tell you, the unrealized rent shall be deductible from this. But suppose the house is let out only for 20,000 rupees per month, or say only for 10,000 rupees per month. Only for 10,000 rupees per month. And the rent could not be realized for 2 months. So what will be the actual rent receivable for the year? Receivable. 10,000 per month into 12, which is 1,20,000. Now, in this situation, again, this is the second scenario. Earlier one, the rent was 50,000 per month. Now this scenario, the rent is only 10,000 per month, and again the rent was not realized for 2 months. The tenant did not pay. Rest of the parameters are same. Now here, how you will calculate the GAV? 2,40,000 and 2,10,000. Now this 2,10,000 shall be compared with this. Now which will be how much? 1,20,000. Now, in this scenario, high, low, high, the GAV shall be not actual rent, but the GAV shall be 2,10,000. 2,40,000 will be compared with standard rent. This cannot be more than the standard rent. So 2,10,000 will be out. This will be compared with the actual rent received or receivable, which is 1,20,000. Now, higher is 2,10,000. So this will become your GAV. Your standard rent will become your GAV. Now here, 2 months rent you could not realize. You will deduct 20,000 here because 10,000 into 2 months. Now again, this answer will be 1,90,000. Now again, municipal taxes paid 10,000. So this will be 1,80,000. Now again, 30%, 54,000. And interest is 1,40,000. So this will become 1,94,000 as the total deduction. Now here, the total income is in loss, house property income is 14,000. This is how we have to understand. Can we say that the unrealized rent shall be deducted from the GAV? Then you will calculate the proceeds. This is how the concept of unrealized rent. Is that clear? Now, after 2 years, the rent is realized. This 2 months rupees which was outstanding was realized after 2 years. The tenant paid after 2 years. Shall you treat it as your income? Yes. In case of unrealized rent, if it is realized after 2 years, suppose this is say 2012-13 assessment year. Now in 2013-14 say, after 2 years, say 2015 assessment year, 2015-16, the rent is realized, that is 20,000 is received. So this rent shall be added in the income from house property. This rent shall be added from the income from house property, but under section 25AA of the Income Tax Act. Under section 25AA of the Income Tax Act, unrealized rent, once it is recovered in future, that shall be added to the net income of the house property, and 30% of the deduction shall not be allowed on the unrealized rent. On the unrealized rent, 30% will not be allowed. Unrealized rent received subsequently, no deduction will be allowed. It shall be fully taxable in the year in which received. So suppose in the next year, your income from house property is say rupees 7 lakhs, total income from net income from house property. And unrealized rent for last year is realized 2 years in this year. So your total income will be 7,20,000. Unrealized rent shall not further be reduced by 30%. This is the income calculated as per the chart, as per the deduction, GAV less municipal taxes, less deductions, less interest, etc. This is the net income. This is 20,000 is unrealized rent. So under section 25AA, your total income from house property will include the unrealized rent portion under section 25AA of the Income Tax Act. Now, there is a concept called as arrears of rent. This is unrealized rent. Now, what is arrears of rent? Arrears of rent means that the tenant, suppose, now let us understand the meaning of arrears of rent. Very simple. What is the difference between unrealized rent and arrears of rent? The difference between unrealized rent and arrears of rent is that the rent unrealized is your loss. But arrears of rent, suppose you have given your house to a tenant in assessment year 2005-2006 for rupees 30,000 per month. And in assessment year 2012-13, you increase the rent by 10,000. By 10,000. So now you are taking 40,000 rupees, charging 40,000 into 12. But you say to the tenant, you tell to the tenant that this increase is with retrospective effect, with prior effect. That is, from 2005-2006, I will charge you, I was charging you 30,000. But in this year you have decided that you will charge your tenant right from the beginning rupees 40,000 only. So your tenant will have to pay. He has already paid 30,000 every year. In this year you decided. So this is called as arrears of rent. So arrears of rent means now the tenant will pay before 2005-2006. That is 10,000 rupees extra per month. So for 12 months, 1,20,000. This is for 05-06. 06-07 again 120. 07-08 again 120. 08-09 120. 09-010 120. 010-011 120. 011-012 120. So your tenant will pay the rent for earlier years also in this year. Now which will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 plus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1 lakh, 8 lakh and 40,000 you will pay, your tenant will pay. So this year's income will be now 4 lakh and 80,000. For this year, because 40,000 now, 30,000 has been increased to 40,000, right? And this 8,000, this will be 8,40,000. This will be treated as unrealized rent. Arrears of rent. This will be treated as arrears of rent. So your total income will be 13,20,000. On this arrears of rent, shall you get the deduction of 30%? Yes. Under section 25B of the Income Tax Act. Earlier it was 25AA. Unrealized rent was 25AA. Under section 25B, the arrears of rent shall also be deductible to the extent of 30%. So total amount I will claim the deduction on the arrears of rent. So arrears of rent, you get the deduction of 30%. However, unrealized rent, even it is realized later on, no deduction is allowed under Income Tax Act. This is how we have completed the calculation part of the income from house property. So, we have seen how the computation is made. But, let us assume a situation where Mr. A and Mrs. A both purchase a house and Mr. A takes a loan of rupees 50 lakhs at 10% interest and Mrs. A takes the loan of rupees 50 lakhs at 10% interest. Now, this is self-occupied house. It's one house. Now, I want to do the calculation like this. This is the computation of Mr. A and this is the computation of Mrs. A, his wife. Now, this is called as co-ownership. Co-ownership means now Mr. A also owns and Mrs. A also owns. Both have contributed 50 lakhs, 50 lakhs. This is called as co-ownership. Co-ownership. And co-ownership computation is given under section 26 of the Income Tax Act. Now, how you will compute this SOP? You know very well, in SOP, the NAV is always zero. Now, less deductions, municipal tax will not be allowed because NAV is there. 30% will not be allowed because it is zero. Now, interest. Mr. A would pay 5 lakhs rupees interest, but he will get the deduction of maximum 1,50,000 only because it is SOP and it is one SOP. Now, same calculation will be applicable to Mrs. A. Her NAV for this house, which is co-owned, shall be zero, less deductions. Interest, can she claim 1,50,000? Yes, she is also the owner. She can claim 1,50,000 also. So for one house, husband and wife both are getting individual deduction of 1,50,000, 1,50,000. Can we say that it is beneficial to own the house in the name of the spouse as a co-owner? She must pay for it or he must pay for it. And each co-owner will get the maximum deduction for one house. This is called as co-ownership. Now suppose this house is not SOP. This house is LOP. Now, how you will compute the income from house property? Same procedure. That is, in this case, if co-ownership house, earlier it was SOP, is LOP. Now it is LOP. Now suppose the GAV, that is rental income, is rupees, say 20 lakhs. For co-ownership house, less municipal taxes, rupees 2 lakhs, paid by the co-owners, any co-owner can pay it, that will be 18 lakhs. Now this 18 lakhs will be deduction, under section 24, 30% of this 18 lakhs. That is 5,40,000. Now the interest. Each co-owner has taken 50 lakhs rupees loan. Right? So 10% of 50 lakhs for Mr. A and 10% for 50 lakhs Mrs. A. That is 10 lakhs rupees will be allowed as a deduction. We assume that the loan is taken by husband and wife to the extent of 50 lakhs each at the rate of 10% per annum. So 50 lakhs, 10%, 5 lakhs for husband, 50 lakhs, 10% for wife, that is total is 10 lakhs. Now, whatever comes here, 15,40,000. Now what is your NAV? What is your income from house property? This will be 60. So 2,60,000 will be your income from house property. But in whose hands it will go? In now this 2,60,000 will be divided by the co-owner, because we assume that each co-owner is the owner of 50% of the house. So can I say 1,30,000 will be divided, will be the income of husband, and 1,30,000 of income from house property will be the income of wife. This is how the income from house property is there. So in SOP property, each owner, if it is co-ownership, under section 26, if both husband and wife have co-owned the property, means they have paid for it, then each co-owner will get the deduction of interest maximum up to 1,50,000 each. That means total deduction will be 3 lakhs. But if the house which is co-owned is LOP, Then you will calculate as if it is a income from house property, let out property, and the final answer will be divided. Final result will be divided between the co-owners. This is how the income from house property. Now, my dear friends, we are on the last leg of the income from house property. Now, I want to tell you. Suppose my income from salary is rupees 25 lakhs. Now, you know very well, more than I will be applicable for slab system. Slab starts to up to 2 lakhs, no tax in case of male, in case of an individual. So, 2 lakhs, no tax, 2 lakhs to 5 lakhs, 10%, 5 lakhs to 10 lakhs, 20%, above 10 lakhs, 30%. So, I will be paying 30% on 15 lakhs of rupees. Apart from this, I have a house in my name, house property. Now, I am getting the rent of rupees, say, 20 lakhs rent. Now, my total income is 45 lakhs. Now, I will pay more tax. In order to avoid the rigor of the tax, I transfer this house which was in my name to my wife, Mrs. A. Now, instead of me, now I have transferred it, I have gifted it, or I have sold it without consideration. There is a particular section called section 27, subsection 1. Which says if the house is transferred without adequate consideration, now the wife would start getting the rent of 20 lakhs rupees yearly instead of me. Even then, there is a provision that this income, even though the house is now belonging to wife, this income, this house, I shall be the deemed owner, and this 20 lakhs rupees shall still be added in my income. So, my dear friends, if the house is transferred without adequate consideration and the rent is received by the spouse, this rent shall also be added, that is called as clubbed, in the hands of the transferor. You can't avoid the tax. So, section 27, subsection 1 is very clear. Now, I told you earlier that in order to become the, in order to make yourself taxable under the house property, you must own the house. This is the basic condition. But there may be a case. I am a flat owner, and a flat owner is a, you know, the building, I am a flat owner in a building, and the building is owned by a cooperative society. Now, in cooperative society, under Cooperative Societies Act, even though I am the flat owner, the actual ownership is lying with the society. If I do wrong things, if I do illegal things, the society has got the right to evict me. I am only the holder of the shares, but the real ownership lies with the society. Now, in this situation, if I let out this house, which I am in the society, which is in the society, shall this income be treated as income from house property in my hands? Can I be treated as the owner? Because the actual ownership is with the society. Yes, in income tax, even though the society is the real owner, if I let out the house, society will not be taxed. I will be taxed. I will be called as a deemed owner of the house. So, section 27 is talking about deemed owner. So, my dear friends, let us conclude. We started our journey with the annual value. Annual value is nothing but the inherent capacity of the house to let out the, what do you call it, to earn the income. Now, we started with these sections. annual value is defined under Section 22 of the Income Tax Act. Then we determine there are certain sections, Section 23(1)(a), Section 23(1)(b), Section 23(1)(c). These sections are applicable for determining the GAV of the house. Then we understood that there is a proviso which says that the municipal taxes will be allowed as a deduction, provided the house is owned by the person. Then we started our journey with Section 24. Section 24 says that 30% will be allowed as a deduction from NAV. This is Section 24A. And 24B says interest will be allowed as a deduction. Now interest, we said that in SOP the maximum interest is 1,50,000, provided the loan is taken after 1/4/1999. Prior to this loan, prior to 1/4/1999, the maximum deduction for SOP was 30,000. Then we saw that in LOP there is no limit of interest. Any amount shall be allowed as a deduction. Then we went to we understood the reason as to how to compute the income when in case there is a pre-construction period. We understood pre-construction means from date of taking the loan to the end of the previous year prior to the completion of the construction. We aggregated it and divided the interest by 5. And in next year, in the previous year in which the construction was completed, we'll claim the interest, not fully, the pre-construction shall be divided by 5. Then we saw Section 25AA, unrealized rent. So unrealized rent will be allowed as a deduction from calculating the GAV. But mind it well, this is not the unrealized rent, this is the section for unrealized rent realized later on. Unrealized rent is explained under Section 23 of the Income Tax Act. This is unrealized rent when realized will be taxable, but 30% will not be allowed. Then we saw arrears of rent under Section 25B of the Income Tax Act. Arrears of rent will be subject to deduction at the rate of 30%. Then we saw the co-ownership. Each co-owner shall get the deduction. Then we saw 27, that is deemed ownership. That is, if the house is owned, if the house is gifted to the spouse shall not be the real owner. The income will be added to the in the hands of the transferor. And cooperative society also. The society is the real owner, but the income shall be taxable in the hands of the flat owner. This is how we have to understand the concept. And finally, we say, again, there's a chart. If the house is LOP, fully LOP, we understood how to calculate the GAV. The GAV shall be for fully LOP, high, low, high. Fair rent, municipal value, fair rent will be compared. That higher will be taken out. That higher will be, compared with the standard rent. And the standard rent cannot be, the fair rent and municipal value cannot be more than the standard rent. And we compared with the actual rent. Then, in case of LOP plus vacant, the GAV shall be actual rent. In LOP plus SOP, the GAV shall be as if it is high, low, high, same. And SOP, the NAV shall be zero for one house. This is under Section 23, subsection 2. Then we saw under Section 23, subsection 4. That if the person owns more than one house, which is SOP, then one house will be SOP and another house will be deemed LOP. That's it. That's all. So, this is how we have completed chapter number 5, that is income from house property. Thank you.